RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On the morning show today from WRCO, Community Conversation, we are pleased to have Pine Valley Community Village's new administrator, Shaponda Jimerson, in the studio with us today as we introduce her officially to the community. Well, good morning, Shaponda.
Good morning. Hi, Richland Center.
Great to have you in here. Yeah, we met you just a little while ago. You were kind of on tour in the business community with Director Tom Rislow.
Yes.
Did you enjoy that time?
Absolutely. Tom is an amazing man, and I'm so happy that I got to spend some time with him before he retired.
How long was he the administrator at Pine Valley?
5 years, but Tom has about 43 years of experience as an administrator, so it was good to learn from him.
I was going to say, did you pick his brain a little bit to kind of learn a few things?
Well, actually, yes. Tom had about an 8-page orientation that he prepared for me, and we went over every single thing.
Oh, wow.
He even took me to the water well.
Showed you everything then.
Yes.
Well, tell me a little bit about yourself and your background. Where are you from originally?
So I was born in Los Angeles, California, and then I ended up moving to Gary, Indiana. And then when I went away to college in Marshall, Texas, earned my degree in biology. Then I came back to the Midwest, went to Benedictine University and earned a master's degree. And a few weeks ago, I just earned my doctoral degree in health sciences from AT Steele University.
Wow, that's impressive. Congratulations on
yes.
that, too. So I should have referred to you as doctor, then, in other words.
No, just call me Ann.
Well, I like that. Now, you spent some time all over,
yes.
so you've kind of learned a little bit everywhere you've gone.
Yes, I trained in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. When you went to Nashville, you told me before we went on the air that you learned guitar. Is that kind of one of the prerequisites when you go there?
Well, Nashville is a music hub, so sort of.
So you play a little guitar?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And do you plan to put on some performances at Pine Valley Community Village?
Yeah, I actually would like to have my friends from Nashville come up and play. It's in the works.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, how exciting. So, yeah, and I know Tom, before you, he used to play piano for the residents.
Yeah, I heard Tom play a little bit. He's awesome.
You didn't start a band with him before he left, though.
No, I wish.
That would have been awesome.
I did make him eat pizza with me.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
So, when you came here and you toured, what were your first impressions of Pine Valley Community Village?
I actually thought it was pretty awesome. I think the staff are really caring, loving, and compassionate. I think it's a organization and a facility where we have the same values. I believe in doing the best by people and just giving them 100% in healthcare. And I just saw that when I walked in the door. So I was really grateful for that.
Had you worked at some other facilities similar to Pine Valley?
I have worked in nursing homes before, and I also trained at a really lovely facility in Nashville, too. So just being able to, you know, see the care and feel the care. I've been in healthcare since I was 16. I fell in love with healthcare, and to just work with people who have that same passion at Pine Valley is really rewarding.
So you've worked with different ages. This is your chance to work mainly with the elderly. I know that you've got some opportunities there, but is that something that attracted you to maybe get into this facility and things like that?
Well, what actually motivated me to want to be an administrator is I had an aunt that was an RN and a nursing home administrator. So I saw how she would take care of the elderly and she would take care of the homeless and children, and it was just really rewarding to me. Like I said, I've been in healthcare since I was 16. I fell in love with it, and I'm just a lover of people in general.
Probably the hardest and most difficult thing is when you get so attached, right? And then sometimes it's probably hard to say goodbye.
It is. Yeah, I fell in love with my residents in Nashville. I miss them. I think about them all the time. But I think I've learned from them also, and it's helped me become a better administrator. So I think, you know, you take those memories and you're supposed to carry it along with you on your journey.
Having been working at all levels, that probably helps you as an administrator to kind of have knowledge about all of the different avenues, right?
Yeah. So I've actually worked at a facility with people with developmental disabilities before. I've worked at a facility with individuals with substance abuse. I've worked with the homeless and children, so I think I have a pretty good knowledge base.
I think you have. I think for all, you need compassion, don't you?
You do. Yeah. Yes. I think you can't be an administrator if you're not compassionate. I think you have to come in every day with a desire to service the people there, including the staff. And I think you have to go home and you have to reflect, think about what you can do differently, and just be prepared to continue the great work the very next day and every day thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How do you find that every day, go to work and be up and positive? Is that a difficult thing to do?
You know, I'm always usually a happy person. I really just lean on my faith a lot, and I just believe that you should give out to the world what you want back, and I take that with me everywhere I go and in everything that I do. I just try to be the best that I can be and love people and always ask myself, is this the right thing that I'm doing? And I think that self-reflection is critical, mm-hmm. and I think that's what keeps me going.
Yeah, well said. You have a very fine staff at Pine Valley, don't you?
I do. I think they're awesome. I am very, very happy to have a DON with such a passion for working with the residents and the rest of the nurses and the nursing leadership team. I have two awesome social workers who come in every day and give the absolute best that they can. The dietary department is awesome because I like the desserts. and I probably shouldn't say this. I love all of you equally, but I've always been very fond of the activities department, probably because I'm a party animal.
So you're showing a little favoritism there, but
a little bit, but you know, I love all of them equally, and I'll do whatever I can to make the facility successful. So,
right.
But hey, I'm a natural born party animal. So,
right. Yeah. Well, what are some of the activities that Pine Valley they're currently doing then?
So, I know that the residents love bingo, and I got to witness a bingo store where they get to take their chips and purchase items with those chips. Now, it's not just regular things. There's snacks, there's clothing, there's coloring books, hygiene products. I've even saw knitting and arts and craft materials. It's just, to me, like probably the best bingo store that I've seen. Of course, they have some music. We had caroling for Christmas time. And I'm actually going to come on Saturday and do a craft project with them. So,
What's the project then?
So we're going to make cards, and we're going to actually, you know, those like heart candies. We're going to kind of like make flowers on a card and glue them and put nice messages in there and pass them out for Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I don't think probably real. That happens a lot where the administrator actually comes in and does a work like that. So that's cool.
Well, I think the administrator has to be present at all times of the day. The other day I came in late so I can work later into the shift, because I do want to get to know the night staff and the PM staff.
I think that's important.
It is. Yeah. I want them to know that I'm equally there for them also. So I don't see my role as an administrator as a 9-to-5. I think you have to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Those of us that have visited residents, friends, and neighbors, and things like that, we kind of know that the people in the trenches, you know, the nurses and the people that are their caregivers, that, you know, they really are the stars of the show, aren't they?
They are. I see them give every single day. They don't really take no for an answer. They demand quality care, and that is something that I think, you know, when you have it in a building, you just have to honor it and just be grateful because it couldn't be there, but it is at Pine Valley. And I think that's what sets us apart from the other facilities, is that we truly do value quality care.
And they're in the rooms all the time, so they kind of, they know that resident, you know, day in and day out, and if they notice something, maybe a change, you know, that's you know, what they're there to do, right?
Yeah, the residents feel really comfortable talking to our nurses, and I just think, you know, when I see the nurses and they're taking care of the residents, they really enjoy working with them. I mean, and I'm quite fond of walking around the hallways, doing my rounds, and I make sure I speak to residents, and just try to get to know them. I try to make sure that when the residents are admitted that I do go down and introduce myself and let them know that I'm there for them. And, you know, I want them to get to know me also.
So, yeah, that's important.
Yeah.
I don't know where you were in your career when COVID hit, but that certainly, that put everybody kind of on their heels. But yes. But I think you were able to learn from that a little bit too, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I did. I was fortunate that I didn't get COVID, but I'm really particular. So yes, I was working at a facility, and you know, I saw people get sick and pass away, and COVID was just really a different experience that I hope it doesn't get that bad again, to be honest. But it's even worse when you're working with residents with developmental disabilities, because they don't understand sometimes that they may have to keep away from a friend, or they don't understand sometimes that why their mother can't come in the building, or, you know, just that loss of contact with their family and friends is really difficult for them. So just, you know, engaging them and keeping them engaged and just encouraging them to wash their hands and to wear their masks, that was our biggest challenge. But I think we pulled through, and I did the best that I could.
Yeah, that's all you can do. But I think everybody that worked at the facilities, they were even more important at that time, because family members couldn't come in, or they could only speak through a phone, through a window. And so there was a lot of loneliness. And I think that's where the staff really had to step up, didn't they?
Well, I really used a lot of technology with Zoom, and, you know, having the families call on Zoom and talk to their loved ones, FaceTime, mm-hmm. Anything that I could do to keep them connected. I had family members that would come to the window, and we would open the window and let them talk. And there was a lady, she would sit on the lawn and play the guitar for our residents, and you would see them all in the window. So I think as an administrator, our biggest challenges, and probably all the administrators, was making sure that we address the loneliness, even in a time of COVID, because that could be challenging for seniors.
And you can still FaceTime if you have some residents that have relatives that are way outside the area, too.
Yes. Yes, you can.
So that works out really well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Music is such a big part, and I know you love music too, but music and memory, and, you know, it's amazing what music does for residents.
Yeah, I had a resident, he was autistic, and they said he couldn't talk, but when he sat at that piano and he would play the piano and sing, it just, everyone was just so in awe. And you'd be surprised just how excited he was and happy he was, you know, in that moment. You know, everyone forgot that he was autistic. And, you know, I think that kind of showed everybody, you know, let's see the person and not the disability, which was really amazing.
So he couldn't talk, but he could sing and play the piano.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know for older residents or people with memory issues, music is kind of like one of the last things that they forget.
Yes.
So it's a good way to keep them, you know, going and smiling and everything.
Yeah. I had a resident once who had dementia, and she would play the piano. She never lost that ability.
Yeah.
And it was just, it made her happy. So she would play at all times of the day. And you know, if it doesn't disturb anyone else at night and it makes her happy, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, it was second nature for her.
Yeah.
You know, to remember that. The rest of us can't play, but she could remember how to play. And
yes.
Yeah, that's an amazing story, too. Pine Valley Community Village and the mission statement. Do you know much about that, or can you comment on that?
I think the mission statement just really embodies what we do every day, which is just giving quality care, choices to our residents, serving with love, compassion, and just coming to work and remembering that we're there to serve.
Okay. Well said. What about being a 5-star facility?
Well, I don't mean to brag, but we are a 5-star facility.
And that goes quite a long ways, right?
It does.
That's
yes.
Not common, is it? Everywhere?
I won't say that it's not common, because I believe that if you do the work, you can be a 5-star facility. But mistakes happen. There's a lot of change sometimes in leadership. And I think that the administrator, it has to realize that you can play a really big role in driving that 5-star. But for me, what a 5-star represents is that we provide quality care. And I'm not going to say that a 3-star doesn't, but I think that just shows that you're striving to deliver that quality care. Like you're finding the errors, you're finding the mistakes, and you're fixing them, and you're implementing a quality improvement process, which is, to me, one of the key components of earning that 5-star.
What about employment? I'm guessing you, like any other facility, you could always use more helpers, couldn't you?
Yeah, I think all the nursing homes across the country are struggling with staffing. You know, I'd read a research study, and it said that by 2025, there was going to be a shortage of CNAs, nurses, and primary care. But I think COVID just brought that along sooner. So I think it's imperative for companies to realize that they have to be competitive in areas such as staff morale, wages, the environment of the company. You know, is this a company where people feel like they can grow? Is this a company where people feel like they want to stay here and invest their time? And looking at the wages, you know, are we paying people fairly? Does our benefits align with where our staff feel like they need to be? And that's how you're going to improve staffing. You know, COVID was really bad, but I like to look at things and try to find the good. And I think what COVID taught me was that you have to value things in life. And I think for everybody, I think COVID really showed that, hey, you know, I have value. And I just, you know, if I want to learn and grow, I should be able to do that. I think COVID really just showed us that, you know, time is precious and we need to take every opportunity to improve ourselves and others.
There are programs now where young men and women can get a degree while they're even still in high school. They can come and work and kind of get some credits too, right?
Yeah. So we actually have some schools that are coming to work in our facility and train and learn. And, you know, I think that being a CNA is a noble profession. You can learn a lot being a CNA, and it prepares you for other opportunities.
That's how you started, correct?
Yeah, I was a CNA. So when I was in high school, I attended the Gary Area Career Center, and I actually was in cosmetology first.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I said, oh, well, what program is that? And it was the health program, and that's where I think I fell in love with healthcare. And by the time I graduated, I was already a dental assistant and a CNA. So I've always been in healthcare and I loved it. I think you have to find your passion and find out what draws you to healthcare.
You've truly done it all, though. You know?
I wouldn't say it all. I haven't climbed up Mount Everest, and I probably never will. But I'm just the type of person, I just really believe in growth and strength, and I just feel like, You know, every year I strive to be different. I want to learn something new every year, you know, whether it's improving my leadership skills, whether it's improving my health, my education. I just think every year you should be different than what you were the previous year.
Regardless of your age, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that goes even for your older residents and for everybody. I mean,
well, you know, when I'm 65, I hope that I am still having a good time. I hope that I'm still learning. I'm growing. I just think in regardless to age, whether you're 65 or 95, you should always try to live your best life and just grow and learn and love.
When we talk about brain health, too, that keeps us sharp, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
We're trying to keep always learning and striving forward then.
Well, I read an article about happiness, and it said that keeps your brain sharp, too, not stressing. It helps with your heart health, moving, exercising, eating healthy, spending time with friends and families, doing something that you enjoy. Just because you're 65 doesn't mean you can't live your life. And when you look at nursing homes, there's more people coming that want to drive their car. There's more people coming to facilities that actually want to be in a community. So the long-term care industry is changing. And I think that administrators coming after me and myself, we're going to have to be, you know, willing to accommodate those changes that are coming.
Sometimes for residents, just getting them there, you know, they maybe fight the idea of that. But I think once they get there and get into the community spirit, I think they probably wonder why they didn't come sooner, right?
Well, moving into a long-term care facility can be hard for anyone. For some residents, it represents somewhat a loss of freedom. Like, well, I'm at a place in my life where I need help. I need care. And I mean, no one wants to move into a nursing home, but my job as an administrator is to deliver the services and to try to make this resident as happy as I can, to keep them as independent as long as I can, and to, you know, encourage them to still be engaged in the things that they love. You know, just because you live in a nursing home doesn't mean you can't go out to lunch with your friends, doesn't mean you can't go home with your family. Your family can visit any time of the day. But I think they settle in, they do adjust. And I tend to promote freedom, although you live in a nursing home. It's not, it is an institution, but I want it to be home.
Mm-hmm. You have a lot of residents just passing through, though, if you're recovering, rehabbing from surgeries and things like that, too.
Yes. And then they go home. And I think that's the goal, to get them well enough to where they can go back to their own home.
Mm-hmm. So you see a lot of that, too. So.
I do, yes.
Yeah, you bet. As far as this year, I know there are always some fun activities and things like that. Anything that you're looking forward to at Pine Valley Community?
So Tom told me about the chicken.
The
chicken, and we sell tickets, and they come, and we make the plates, and we give chicken. Then there's a fair.
Mm-hmm.
That I am interested in. I have to staff the booth, so I'm excited about that. I've never actually been to a fair before.
So you're hitting the ground running a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. So I'm excited. And then we clean up the street by our facility,
mm-hmm.
because we adopted that street.
Okay.
So to just go out there to do that, I'm excited about that also, actually.
Sure. So you'll be learning the ropes here.
You know, I am.
Learning on the fly. We'll come back and have a little bit more with administrator of Pine Valley Community Village, Shapana Jimerson, joining us on today's morning show. Welcome back to our morning show time today on WRCO Radio. Shapana Jimerson, the administrator at Pine Valley Community Village, is our guest. And I guess we're friends now, so we can call you Ann.
Okay.
Because right? That's what residents call you, right?
Yes.
At Pine Valley Community Village. But good to have you along and to introduce you to the community today. When I ask you about quality care, what comes to mind?
making sure my residents are safe, they're happy, they have their doctor's appointments, they're taking their medication, they're eating healthy, and I'm just helping them live a quality life, an independent life.
Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the mission statement, not only for your facility, but it's for you as well.
I just want to do the best for the residents. That's why I became an administrator, to deliver quality care.
So what do you do for fun?
I like to sew. I like to cook. I like to travel. I like to party. binge watch Lifetime movies.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
I'm rarely home on the weekends.
So you keep it going. Now, you live in the area?
I live in Middleton.
Okay. So you commute out here?
Yes, it's not a bad commute.
No, not too bad at all. So, and I'm guessing you're trying to relay that fun to the residents, right?
Oh, I'm a fun person. I think they knew it when they met me.
Keeping them smiling if you can, right?
I try. I do my absolute best.
Yeah, because I think we all can do a little bit better with that, you know?
Yes.
What about, you mentioned faith. That's important to you.
It is.
Mm-hmm. It is. What can you tell us about your faith?
So I practice Buddhism. It has actually helped me become a better person. I used to really struggle with my confidence and just loving myself. And I have a friend that lives in Michigan, and she practices. So I would go to her house, and I used to hear them chant, and I never understood what was going on. But then finally, she introduced me to Buddhism, and it's just really changed my life. So I'm a happier person. I'm a friendlier person. I'm a calmer person. I just see the value in people, and I just credit it for making me the person that I am today.
Yeah, interesting. We're all on a journey, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah.
I think life is a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had a really challenging life. And, like, when I found Buddhism, I think things have improved.
You talk about a challenging life, though. You wouldn't be the person today had you not gone through some of those things, right?
Yeah. So when I was 8, I lost my mother. She passed away in a train accident. Then we moved to Gary, Indiana, and we kind of lived around the corner from Michael Jackson's childhood home. Can imagine the fanfare there.
I'll bet.
And, you know, I didn't really see a lot of people going to college and just really making an impact in a community. And so I knew I wanted to be different. And here I am.
And here you are.
Yeah.
After a few years, certainly. Michael Jackson's home. As soon as you said Gary, Indiana, I thought of that. But that's the birthplace of the Jackson family and things like that. So was there quite a lot of hubbub around there, around, you know, tourists coming through and looking at the facility and everything?
Yeah. If you can go on Facebook and people visit, you'll see this big monument, and they have a picture of him doing the moonwalk on the monument. And actually, one time I went there to just visit because I had a friend with me from Tennessee, and we were standing outside of the gate, and I said, "Oh, that's Janet Jackson." And he's like, "No, Ann, it's not Janet Jackson." And I said, "Yes, it is." And I was like, "Hi, Janet." And she waved, and they went back in.
Really? So
yeah.
the Jackson family was visiting there at that time?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a regular museum where people can tour then?
Usually the gate is locked. I think you have to go online and schedule a visit. I've never actually been inside. I would like to, but I think people are just happy with taking a picture in front of there.
Okay, sure. And that it's preserved and
yes.
It's a historical place for the city then.
Yeah, they did some renovations on it, and then they built the monument.
Have you had some other famous encounters with famous people?
Yeah, so I went to Wiley College, and Denzel Washington filmed a movie about our school called The Great Debaters, and he actually filmed it in Texas. And a lot of the people in the movie, I can name them, you know. I'm like, oh, that's the mailman. That's the old president of the university. People hate watching movies with me. And I was sitting on the bench with a friend, and I said, "Oh, that's Denzel Washington." And she said, "Oh, no, Ann, that's not Denzel." And I said, yeah, that's him. And she said, no. So I said, okay, well, I'll speak to him. And I said, hi, Denzel. And he said, oh, hi, darling. And she fainted.
So it really was him.
Yeah. And I said, I don't know why you fainted. He spoke to me.
Oh, that's awesome. So you were attending a university there. You didn't make it in the movie, though.
I didn't want to be in a movie. For some odd reason, I was ready to just go home for the summer. I mean, I don't have any regrets.
So they took some extras from the university for the
movie.
Oh,
well, a lot of the students and staff was in the movie.
Uh-huh.
That's what I liked about it.
Oh, okay. I see.
And I got to watch it for the first time at the movie theater.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Whatever it is now, I will pay up to $250 towards your appraisal. So give me a call, let your questions be answered, and let's get comfortable, and let's build a relationship, and let me and my team help you buy a house in 2024. 608-604-5068.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News Time Today is sponsored by Computer Connections Y Connect Wireless, bringing high-speed internet to rural communities. And by Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, your full-service pharmacies, caring for you and about you. Also sponsored by BL Signs. Today's forecast calls for a high of 38 with more light rain or drizzle, a dense fog advisory in effect until 10 this morning. There are no delays or cancellations from the area schools. It's 35 degrees.
BL Signs is a full-service sign design company in Richland Center. They specialize in manufacturing all types of interior and exterior signage for all applications to meet the client's needs. They offer internally lighted extruded aluminum sign cabinets, post and panel signs, non-lighted acrylic letters, LED lighted channel letters of all types and sizes, printed in solid color vinyl lettering, and graphics. Call BL Signs at 647-0149 and see what they can do for you. BL Signs, Richland Center.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. President Joe Biden was back at the site of an aging bridge at the tip of Lake Superior on Thursday, promoting $5 billion in federal money to update the span. Biden noted Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin's role in bringing attention to the Blotnick Bridge.
The last time I was here, I came with Tammy, and we're now back this time because we knew this bridge needed a lot of work. Tammy didn't let me forget that either.
The president promoted infrastructure investments and federal funding to repair the Blotnick Bridge, and he delivered a bit of a pep talk.
I hope you feel a renewed sense of pride. Pride in your community. Pride in what we can do. Pride in America. Pride knowing we can get big things done still together in America.
A $5 billion federal grant will help fund the project on the key span connecting Duluth and Superior. Biden's visit to Wisconsin comes amid strong economic performance as he begins his campaign for a second term. A gas leak closed downtown buildings in Dodgeville Wednesday for about 2 hours. Officials in Iowa County said the gas leak was caused by a 100-pound icicle that had fallen off of the roof of a building. The ice struck a gas meter, causing the leak. Some gas made it onto nearby buildings, which were aired out by early afternoon. The closure lasted from just after noon until 2:15, and nobody was hurt because of the leak. The 2024 Making a Difference Awards banquet, sponsored by Richland Rejuvenates and WRCO Radio, will be held Sunday at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. This year's banquet will honor the Phoenix Center as Business of the Year, Marilyn Loft Hauck, and the Okooch Mountain Humane Society with the Outstanding Organization Award, Troy Sharp with the Civic Leadership Award, the Ombres Ithaca Lions as the Nonprofit of the Year, Computer Doctors with the Best Face Forward Award, Jim Brock with the Community Stewardship Award, Doug Tyler and Lauren Moe with an Emergency Responder Award, Liz Perkins with the Educator of the Year Award, Mars Jelenic as the Medical Hero Award or Healthcare Professional of the Year, and Maddie Smith with the Up and Coming Youth Award. Everyone is invited to attend the awards banquet this Sunday at the Phoenix Center. Social time at 5:30, dinner at 6:30, and awards to follow. Tickets are $20 and available at Christie's Sunnyside Bakery, Ameriprise Financial Offices, or at Napa Auto and Truck Parts. Elsewhere today, medical marijuana legislation has hit a dead end in Washington.
Speaker Robin Voss has made it clear the bill from Assembly Republicans won't be amended.
My job is to get a bill that will get the support of at least 50 members of my caucus through the Assembly, and then it goes to the Senate. And if they want to make changes, we can do a conference committee. There are a lot of things that we can do through the process.
Now, a key Senate supporter of medical cannabis says efforts to pass the bill are pointless, absent a willingness by Voss to negotiate. Tomahawk Republican Senator Mary Felskowski told Milwaukee's CBS 58 she doesn't see anything happening this session. Senate Republicans object to having state-run medical marijuana dispensaries, preferring that be done through the private sector. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A judge has ruled the case of a 15-year-old Wisconsin boy accused of killing a 10-year-old girl after luring her into the woods will remain in adult court. Chippewa County Judge Stephen Gibbs, in a decision issued Monday, sided with the state in ruling that court proceedings in the slaying of 10-year-old Ilana Lily Peters will remain in adult court. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports Gibbs recently heard arguments from lawyers representing the suspect who sought to have the case moved to juvenile court. The teen is charged with first-degree intentional homicide and two counts of first-degree sexual assault in the girl's April 24, 2022 death. Sparta is the home of the Deke Slayton Memorial Space and Bicycle Museum. Alyssa Young is the executive director of the museum.
We outline the progression of transportation. The Wright brothers, before they started inventing airplanes, actually had a bicycle shop and used a lot of bike components in their design for the Wright Flyer. Also, with Sparta being the bicycling capital of America, with the Elroy Sparta Bike Trail being the first in the Rails to Trails program, where defunct railroad lines are turned into bike trails and then into space with Deke Slayton, who was from Leon and went to Sparta schools.
The museum hosts a number of events throughout the year. Sharing Space with Deke will be held this Saturday from 5:30 until 6:30, featuring Vance Brand.
We have started a series called Sharing Space with Deke. We will be talking with Vance Brand, who was on the Apollo-Soyuz test project mission with Deke. We will be speaking with Vance Brand on Zoom. He currently lives in California and is 90 years old, so he doesn't travel a lot. But he has agreed to talk to us live on Zoom. And so anyone who wants to attend can either come to the museum and participate and watch on our big screen, or they can participate also on Zoom. So anyone from around the world can join us.
Cost of the event is $10. Young invites you to attend the Zoom event either at home or at the museum. The Deke Slayton Memorial Space and Bicycle Museum is located at 200 West Main Street in Sparta on the second floor. Please note, no elevator is available.
It's internet for everyone from Y Connect Wireless. Y Connect Wireless provides high-speed internet to rural communities throughout southwest Wisconsin with options for unlimited internet with no contract required, so you can stream all your favorites. Catch the local broadcast with a professionally installed TV antenna. Call 524-1579 today and ask how to save with bundle packages, or visit WIWC.net for details. Y Connect Wireless.
A dense fog advisory in effect until 10 this morning. Gloomy and foggy with periods of light rain or drizzle. Again today, a high of 38. Cloudy with fog tonight, a low of 33. 39 Saturday with fog in the morning. For Saturday night, variable clouds and a low of 29. Sunday, partly sunny and quiet and a high of 38. In Richland Center, yesterday 38, we received nearly 2/10 of an inch of rain. This morning, after a low of 35, light rain continues. We have received 6/100 of an inch, and our barometer is up at 30.09. There are no delays or cancellations from the area schools today that we deal with, and we're at 35 degrees.
Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy are working hard to give you great service. The pharmacists and staff want you to feel good and to feel good about your pharmacy. You can trust Boscobel Pharmacy and Center Pharmacy, where local people who know and care about you are always willing to take the time to answer your questions. Experience the difference, safety, and convenience at Boscobel Pharmacy and the Center Pharmacy on Orange Street in Richland Center.
Celebrate at Dunkin' in Richland Center with something new. Now introducing the Frosty Red Velvet Specialty Donut, a red velvet cake base topped with vanilla flavor icing and cream cheese flavored sprinkles, promising a rich and delightful experience. Wash it down with the all-new white hazelnut bark coffee, a drink inspired by fans' adoration for toasted white chocolate swirl. The drink marries the flavors of warm toasted hazelnut with the sweetness of creamy white chocolate flavor to create an inviting drink regardless of whether it's served hot or iced. And remember, Richland Center runs on Dunkin'.
Sports Time is sponsored by Mr. G's Downtown Viroqua and in the Richland Square Shopping Center, your local source for clothes, boots, shoes, and for everything in style you need for work and play. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Some big games and events last night in local sports. A look ahead at this weekend as well. And possibly new coach Doc Rivers will be right there on the bench tonight. When the Bucks get back to action, we'll have more to details coming up. If you're suffering from winter blues, you're going to require immediate fashion treatments at Mr. G's. Yes, Mr. G's has the most remarkable selection of styles, colors, and sizes to help you cure the winter blues. Choose from dresses, sportswear, and other coordinates, from formal wear to active wear, and shoes and work boots. Cure the winter blues at Mr. G's in the Richland Square in Richland Center and Viroqua.
Choose Mr. G's.
I'm Phil Nee with sports. Ithaca came from behind to win 69-61 in area boys basketball last night. The win avenged a loss to North Crawford earlier this season. The game was tied at 33 at halftime. North Crawford led by 7 with 5 minutes to play. Ithaca outscored the Trojans 17-2 in the last 4 minutes to log the win. Sophomore Devin Iam led with 22 points, including 5 three-pointers. Channing Brown added 17. Wesley Nelson scored 12. North Crawford led by Carter Emler's 20. Following the win, Ithaca now 13-1 overall, 6-1 in the league. They will play another ranked team when Royal visits on Monday. Also, North Crawford is 14-2 with a loss and 7-1 in the Ridge and Valley. They'll take on New Lisbon on Tuesday. Elsewhere in area basketball last night, it was a win for Richland Center. The Hornet boys trailed 22-17, went on to win 49-45 after halftime. Liam Fingerson and Wes Bosworth each had 14 points, Jaden Shep 9, as the Hornets picked up the win. Cuba City won against Riverdale 62-51. Gavin Vossen had 17 to lead the Cubans. Riverdale was led by Carson Kenyon with 7 threes and 28 points, and Andre Tainter had 11 for Riverdale. It was Mineral Point over Boscobel 69-29, Darlington 74-48 over Fenimore. It was Prairie du Chien 58, Lancaster 41. Platteville got the win against River Valley 79-67. Seneca 71 and Waseca Steuben 60, Southwestern 90, Iowa Grant 59, Belmont 67-45 over Benton, Schulzburg 70, and Cassville 32, Wisconsin Dells 65-49 over Mauston. In girls basketball, Viroqua over GET 40-30. It was Hillsboro 38, Winnewick Center 36, Bangor 56, Royal 36. Cuba City beat Darlington 69-58. Cashton 55, Nisida 22, and New Lisbon over Brookwood 75-58. The Ridge and Valley Conference dual meet day was held yesterday, and Ithaca Weston came out on top with a first place finish. They defeated North Crawford Seneca 36-33 in the first duel, defeated River Ridge 60-12 in round two. Round three got a win against Pecatonica Argyle 54-17. They won against Kickapoo Lafarge in round four 60-24, and in the final round, defeated DeSoto 42-27. Co-head coach Troy Clary talked about the duels for us this morning.
The kids come in, they were prepared to wrestle, and together. The whole conference is up as a whole as far as quality, I thought. And we stepped up and we're ready to wrestle right from the start.
Yeah, they're close one with North Crawford Seneca in the opener, didn't you?
We did. We moved around a little bit. We got to make sure everybody was trying to get a match. Their numbers are down a little bit, but, you know, they have, like I said, the quality of their wrestlers is extremely improved. And they gave us some good matches, and, you know, we had the numbers to prevail. And, you know, so that was a lot closer than what I anticipated.
Ithaca Weston wins the Ridge and Valley Dual Day. That's the fourth year in a row that has happened. Marquette is looking for revenge as the Seton Hall Pirates visit the Phi Surf Forum Saturday. The Big East Conference game tips off at noon. Also, the Badgers get ready for their next game coming up tonight. They'll host Michigan State, 7 o'clock start time for Bucky. And you can hear the action on WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. New Bucks coach Doc Rivers is reportedly going to be paid $40 million. Over the next 3.5 years. The team hopes he can lead the Starfield roster to another NBA title. Milwaukee is still paying coach Adrian Griffin and Mike Budenholzer for the expired contracts worth millions of dollars for the next few years. And most sources expect the Packers to finally part ways with All-Pro left tackle David Bakhtiari. His cap hit is a little over $40 million in 2024. And if he was available, he might be worth it, but that's unknown. Money makes it unlikely he could be traded. Bakhtiari played just one game last season and has played little since a serious knee injury. I'm Phil Neen. That's an update on sports.
Kubota has the industry-leading VX Series subcompact
tractor. Again, you've kind of lived all over the country, so what are your impressions of living in Wisconsin?
So I like the scenic views. I like to take pictures of trees and sunsets and things, and so I've taken some pretty cool shots.
Okay,
yeah. And I think from my apartment balcony, I have a really beautiful view of the sunset.
So you get lots of photos.
Yeah.
That's a fine art, that's for sure. In the time that you've been in healthcare, there have been a lot of changes, and changes for the better, haven't there?
Yeah, so I think when they expanded Medicaid, that was a really good thing. Now, I wish that we would go to a universal health system, but that's hopefully it's coming soon. 'Cause I think when we're all healthier, we're better.
Yeah, that's certainly, hopefully on down the line, somewhere along the line. But but you've seen a lot of, you know, like in policies and things like that, you've seen a lot of changes there, too, in terms of how you provide services and health care for the elderly.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that they're increasing the Medicaid rates for the nursing homes. One policy I'm not against it, but I can't say that I'm for it, is the new staffing mandates. Just because I think that right now with the shortage of CNAs and nursing staff, that it's not a good time to implement a policy like that without addressing the shortage first.
Can you talk about that? I guess I'm not aware of that.
So the government wants to increase the nursing hours and the staff that are going to be on site at the nursing home. And they're giving the rural nursing homes, which would include Pine Valley, 3 years to do so, and I guess the nursing homes more in the city, 2 years to implement. However, there's been some senators and lobbyists who are saying, no, this is not the time because of the staffing shortage. And nursing home administrators, we already feel like we're competing with the staffing agencies because what our struggle is hiring our own staff versus paying the $68, $88, or $98, and it can be higher or lower, wage to the staffing agencies to get nurses. So I feel like you can't implement a mandate like that, and you don't address the issues of the shortage. So I kind of feel like you're competing against the staffing agencies and the government.
Explain how a staffing agency works.
So, for example, a staffing agency will come and say, well, we can help you get nurses. This is what they have to be paid by the hour. So it can be $68.75. It just depends on the wage. Sometimes if you have a nurse who's coming and then let's say one of your own staff pick it up, you may still have to pay a fee. So those wages are higher because they're contract staff. So now you have a lot of nursing staff and other skilled staff who would just prefer to go to a staffing agency because the wage is higher, there's more flexibility with the schedule, and it makes it hard for nursing homes, hospitals, and other facilities to be able to staff their own staff, which increases the cost of their salaries for their staff and the wages that they pay and that they spend on staffing.
When you're talking about that pay, too, does the staffing agency get some of that money?
They do. And okay. I've heard nurses tell me that they take a large portion of it. So you may think you might pay the nurse $75, but really she may be getting like $65 of it.
I see. So do those nurses, do they travel?
Yes, travel.
From week to week?
Yeah, you can. I know nurses that are signed up with more than one staffing agency.
Mm-hmm. So you'll see them, they're like maybe from multiple states away, but they come and work a week here, work a week there. Is that how it works?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Because they like the flexibility.
Mm-hmm. So you're not, are you forced to go through those kind of agencies or?
Well, you're not forced really to do anything, but do you really have a choice when you can't find staff?
I see. Yeah. So that's one of the things you deal with. You like to hire locally if you can, though.
Yes.
Right.
I would like to hire locally. But again, with the shortage, everybody's looking for staff.
Let's talk about some other things you're involved in. Other organizations outside of work?
Yeah, so I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated, the best sorority. I also volunteer in Illinois with the organization called Kabod House, and they service the homeless women and children in low-income communities. So I'm actually a director.
Oh, interesting. Huh. So that's something that's near and dear to you then?
Yes. I love doing community service.
Mm-hmm. So, and again, coming up through and growing up, you experienced probably, you saw a lot of those people in need and things like that?
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, you know, I always said that when, you know, I go to college and find work that I'm happy with, I would always give back. And I'm fortunate, you know, to have and be in an industry that I enjoy. So, you know, I try to motivate other young girls, you know, to get their education and to show them that, you know, you can be anything you want to be.
You're leading by example.
Yeah.
I think,
you know, I've been fortunate to have some really good people who always believed in me, even when others didn't. So I just said, well, you know, the way to pay them back, you know, for all that they have given me is to give back to other people.
You don't spend a lot of time sitting around, I don't think, do you?
No, I don't like to sit around. No, not at all. You know, I try to be involved in everything that I can.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I know that people, if they're hearing this today, they might like to talk to you or meet you, and I'm guessing you gladly welcome along.
Yeah, come on down to Pine Valley. You know, my door is always open. Come in, stop in, meet me, ask me some questions. I'd be glad to talk to you, and thank you for welcoming me to the community and to Pine Valley.
Great. It's been great to get to know you here on the morning show today.
And no, thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
You bet. And then you'll be doing some activities this weekend. I know you have activities and you have church services on the weekend at Pine Valley.
Yeah.
Well.
I'm doing a Valentine's Day craft with my residents. I should be there at 1 o'clock. My plan is to be there from 1 to 4. So if you would like to come and meet me then, or just come and sit with your family member and participate in the project, I'd be more than glad to have you.
Yeah. Well, good. It's really a pleasure to have you in the studio. Come back and see us.
Thank you.
You bet. That is Shaponda Jimerson, and you can meet her at Pine Valley Community Village. She's the new administrator taking over for the retiring Tom Rislow. What's he doing in retirement? Have you heard?
I hope he's having a great time.
Whatever he's doing.
I asked him if he would go partying, and he just laughed.
All right. Thanks for joining us today on The Morning Show. We'll have more coming up tomorrow. We'll talk about Greater Richland. Area Cancer Elimination as they start the new year for Grace.
The annual Making a Difference Awards will be held Sunday, January 28th at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center, beginning at 6:30. Come and honor those individuals and organizations that make Richland County such a great place to live. You can find out more at richlandrejuvenates.org. Tickets are available at Christie's Sunnyside Bakery and Cafe, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, and at Ameriprise in Richland Center. The Making a Difference Awards, Sunday, January 28th at the Phoenix Center.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Your gift is tax deductible and much appreciated.
Here we go. The old sage from Dodgeville, Tom Mueller, is on the line. How you doing there at Mueller Implement?
Well, I'm doing great, Phil. It's nice to see a little warmer weather, and of course, we're ending our snow season, still having people walk through the door buying snow for plans on next year, and good for them. But, you know, the real truth of the matter is we are getting ready for spring. And so Mueller Implement, as of the 1st of February, is going to have an open house for exactly 30 days. Open every day, have coffee and donuts and et cetera. And the reason why, well, we just got the word that we have some rebates coming from Aaron's and Gravely. It ranged from anywhere from $300 to $1,500. I'm sitting on a huge inventory of 23s, which are definitely 8% less than what the current models would be. And it's a great time to buy. People need to be thinking about mowers. And what better time to come in before the season starts, get yourself ready, buy what you want. And if you have to leave it here, go ahead. We'll take care of you in the spring and deliver it. The key here, though, is this is a one-time thing. People need to understand that it's a really good chance for you to buy a product that'll last 30 years and save a lot of money.
Awesome. And you've got a lot of specials coming up, don't you?
We do. At the same time, we've been very fortunate. Top leading two-cycle line, which is Husqvarna, has come out with a 20% off on all professional items and 10% off on all homeowner items. That means that no matter what you buy, you're going to save a small savings. And that program goes through the middle of March. And they do it once or twice a year. This year, they're going to do it early. And the reason they're doing it, it's a great time to buy. They realize people are running in and buying mowers and et cetera. And then even our Husky tractors, which we have on hand, anywhere from $200 to $300 off. So it is a fantastic time to stop in and see that. Plus, get free coffee and a donut and get a chance to browse and feel things and get an idea of what we're all about, because everything we sell is quality. And when we talk about quality, we not only believe in it, we service it, and of course we back it up with our guarantee on a lawnmower loaner forever. And that's so important, because you know what, things happen. If something breaks and breaks down, you want a mower, you want to keep going. And so we've got that in line, and that is part of our blood here. We literally understand the customers first. But the other side of the world is, you have to understand, when we say we don't sell junk, we don't sell junk. These are American-made products. They're ready to go. And the key there, of course, is let's support America. Let's start getting this country back on its feet. Let's quit buying all this cheap, what I call Chinese stuff, and understand that our country needs to wake up and become independent of everybody else, because it's time. And dealing local, whether it's our place or elsewhere, it helps the economy. It keeps things going. And, of course, the great news about that is All local economies need help. And so here at Mueller Ipman, and we're not hard to find, we're here at Dodgeville, Wisconsin. We're at 4948 Highway YZ, right across from Midwest Roofing. And, of course, those little guys, Farm and Fleet, our neighbor, they're still open, and so that's good to know. Give us a holler at 935-2751. Our winter hours are 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, 8 to noon on Saturday. Go to www.MuellerRental.com. That's our internet site. Or go to Craigslist on the left-hand side, punch in Mueller. You're going to see our specials. But better yet, just come here because you're going to find out that we're real sincere. You're going to get some free coffee, some donuts. You're going to have fun walking through the place. And you're going to be treated like you should be treated as the number one person in the world.
What's the fastest mower you have in terms of land speed?
Our fastest series is the 600 and 500 series, and they go 15 miles an hour, and not only do they run that fast, they mow perfect at that speed. So you're talking about a lot of speed. Our slowest machine, as far as zero turns on top end, is 7 miles per hour, and then if you're mowing with a tractor, you're somewhere between 3 and 4 miles an hour. Here's the key. At 15 miles an hour, Phil, you couldn't catch up to that mower.
I couldn't. I'm just thinking if June takes the car keys away, I've got a mode of transportation, though, see?
It's very bright on your end. I never thought of that.
Thank you.
Plus, if you get caught driving down the road, drunk, maybe you won't get a ticket.
Right. Well, I'd go cross-country, probably. So.
Oh, okay. Smart.
Have a good one, Tom.
You bet. Take care, Phil.
Tom Mueller from Mueller Implement in Dodgeville.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
Absolutely.